Lesson number 3, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so if you have your Bibles and we can get it on the screen, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got a scripture that just hammering on my mind right now, and we'll read it right after this particular scripture. It seems as though it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the lesson, but it really does. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now, we're not talking or speaking tonight of the necessity of the Holy Ghost, because we've done that and we'll do it again, because the Holy Ghost is necessary, because there is only one God. And so if you want God, you got to have the Holy Ghost. And so, but we are referring to the Holy Ghost tonight in our teaching setting. And but I want you to, I want you to focus on that word commanded. They were commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water. Water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now that is the emphasis. That is what the subject was all about. Going and receiving the Holy Ghost. And it was a command. So we need to see the importance of the Holy Ghost. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Okay, this is what they thought the big deal was. They thought the kingdom was going to come back to Israel, and they saw splendor, and they saw Jesus with a crown and royalty, and all of this. Then in verse 7, he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father put in his own power. That's not what I'm talking about. In verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power. Now that's what I'm talking about. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So these two things is what the emphasis truly was. Number one was receiving the Holy Ghost. Number two was being a witness. It wasn't about glory. It wasn't about splendor. It wasn't about position and possession. It was about receiving the Holy Ghost and witnessing, being a soul winner. He said, you're going to be a witness unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And I praise God for that, because it has hit our neck of the woods hard. And I thank God for that. Can you say amen? All right. Now, I want you to see and be able to explain to others how that when you receive the Holy Ghost, that it is not just an instantaneous thing that in your mindset that takes place because you accepted the Lord as your Savior. It is an individual, totally different experience than repentance, than baptism, than holiness, than works, or any such thing. All of those things are things that we do for God. But the Holy Ghost is something that he does to us. And the last thing the devil wants is God to do something to you. You can do whatever you want to do for God, but the last thing the enemy wants is God to do something to you. I'm telling you today, it is the will of God for everybody that's breathing God's fresh breath of air to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. As God gives them the utterance, it is the perfect. You do not even have to pray about that. It is the perfect will of God. And so when you receive the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. You say, why do you say that? I say that because there's too much evidence in the Word of God proving to me that everybody that received the Holy Ghost in the New Testament spoke in tongues. Let's look at Acts chapter number 2, amen, and verses 1 through 8. Hallelujah. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I like the sound of that for some reason. And suddenly, boy, I like that for some reason, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, not everybody, when you receive the Holy Ghost, is going to hear a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. But you are going to hear a sound. Amen. And that sound is going to be someone speaking in tongues as God gives the utterance. Amen. That's the mighty wind that you're going to hear. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. It's going to fill this house, but most importantly, it's going to fill this house. And it filled all the house. Oh, somebody ought to rejoice with me right now. I know we're teaching, but aren't you glad when the Holy Ghost filled the house? There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all, I like that word. They were how many? How many? Filled with what? Oh, come on, say the Holy Ghost. I know how we get out there in the world when we're surrounded by the crowd and we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and we want to talk about the presence of God. But I'm telling you, ain't nothing like the Holy Ghost. There was another word for it. Maybe I could say the Holy Most. Because when God gives you the ghost, you got the most. And began to speak with other tongues, the Bible said. When they all received the Holy Ghost, all of them began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, this is a sign that the Holy Ghost was not just for the Jews. But as we're going to learn in a little while in Acts chapter 10, it was not just for the Jews, and it was not just for the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm just saying, they can leapfrog over it all they want to. They can bypass it and put blinders on and ignore it. But it's still in the Word of God. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Sometimes that happens, but speaking in tongues is not a corporate language. You may speak in another language, another dialect that is spoken somewhere else, or that was spoken in history and now is completely done away with. But you will be speaking in tongues. And we could get deep into that. Hallelujah. The bottom line is this. They say you have to understand what somebody's saying. I say, what's the point? Hello? God understands it. The devil doesn't. So God has knowledge and the devil's confused. Hello? Who wants to speak in tongues now? Amen? And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, all these people. And then verse 7 says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Now, I want to reflect back, and I jotted this down with my pen. After look at Titus chapter 1 and verse number 16. I want you to see this. This is something that in the last days, that we are going to have to be very, very careful of. And we're going to have to be very aware of. Amen. And you know, it can, if we're not careful in the last days, It's going to be more important to sit up in here with a relationship than it is to even know, care to know what the Word of God is saying. To relax, be so nonchalant that everything Pastor's saying goes over your head. But listen, there's going to come a time, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to need to know what this Word of God says so we can stand for it in the face of opposition. They profess. Now, these are other folks. And other than true Christians, can I say false religion? Can I say false doctrine? Could I even say false churches? Can I say that? And they profess that they know God, but in works, they deny Him. In other words, with their mouth, they say, I'm Christian. But their works, they're half asleep. With their works, there's no praise. With their works, there's no honor to God. Hallelujah. Young people, listen. If right now it's not important to you to really truly live for God, at least do it for your parents' sake. Because most every one of you have parents in here that are trying to live for God. Would you represent your parents tonight? Clap your hands. Worship God. Or does it even matter to you? The Word of God. Listen, the Word of God says, how can a man care for his own house or for others and nurture the church in any way if he can't even nurture his family in the Word of God? And for a young person, anybody, to sit back when you have relatives and family in the listen, I would give that whole right arm if all of I'm telling you what I'm, I would hire a surgeon tomorrow and have it cut off tomorrow and donate it to wherever it needed to go. I'll just tell you this: whoever gets it better have the Holy Ghost, because this thing's going to be doing like this. It'd be good if they were called to preach. And I hope it's a man and not a woman, because it's hairy. But I would give my right arm for my family, my dad, my mom, to be sitting in here ushering or working for God, standing at the back door with their hands raised, sitting on the chair praising God. You don't know what you've got. You don't know what you're getting ready to inherit. You don't even comprehend what they're getting ready to pass down to you. Amen. So their struggles, what I'm saying is their struggles are hard enough. Don't let them have to struggle to try and know where you're at and wonder what you're doing, where you're going, what you're saying when you get there, what you wear when you get there, how you act when you get... Hey, why don't we show them that we're thankful and just live for God? Why don't we show them that we're grateful and just serve the Lord and just live? And those of you that don't have family, I'll tell you this, if you'll serve God, God will reach your family. I do have family living for God, but I want every one of them living for God. I just want you to understand. I just want you to comprehend that don't be some Esau. I didn't mean to preach this. I'm just don't be some little Esau that would sell his birthright for a bowl of soup. You say, I'd never do that. Well, there's other things just as cheap as a bowl of soup. While your mom and dad's trying their best to serve God and live for the Lord, and they've got to contend with lust, and they've got to, oh, really? My mom and dad? Hey, you didn't listen. Your mom and dad aren't robots. Robots don't have babies, and babies don't get here by accident. I'm not going any further than that. Hallelujah. And so I'm just telling you, praise God, they contend with things. Hello? They have to deal with stuff. Don't let them have to deal with your cold, carnal, foolish carcass. That was funny. I like that. Who said that? Praise God. Amen. make up your mind that we're going to make this a family affair. I like what Carson brought to our attention. I want him to preach that here maybe the next time he preaches. Amen. But Carson, if you don't want me to preach it, you better not say it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He talked about David killing his giant. David took Goliath's head home as a trophy. I preached one time years ago. It was not long after that, several years after that, that the Philistines, they drove up to David's house. I got a feeling David saw him coming. He was sitting on the front porch. He went, he told his wife, he said, "Honey, get the head." She goes in and gets the head and brings it out and puts it beside David's rocking chair. And the Philistines come driving up. And they said, "David, you here? We're after you today." And David said, "Yeah, remember him?" They said, "Oh, can't you take a joke?" So David's saying, "I've done it before and I can do it again." I'm just saying. But then Carson brought something up that I'd never even seen. And that's how that David's nephew went off somewhere and killed a giant. It ran in the family. It ran in the family. Hallelujah. I'd like to think that I came up as a little bit of a giant killer. I'd like to know my boys are coming up as a giant killer. I'd like to know Cooper's going to be a giant killer. Brother Brown, you're a giant killer. Zach, are you a giant killer? Jump to your feet, raise your hand, and shout hallelujah. Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Justin's already up. He's got one on you, buddy. You guys got something to do here. Praise God. Ben, raise your hand and shout hallelujah. Praise God. Cody, come on, give it up to God. Jamie. Taylor. All you princesses, come on, give it to God. Let your parents know, hey, you don't have to worry about me. If you can kill a giant, I can kill a giant. If you can destroy the enemy, I can destroy it. I got the same genes you've got. I've got the same ability you have. I'm out of the same gene pool. I'm out of the same family. Thank you for joining me in my folly. Praise God. Where's my water? I'm dry as a bone. Hallelujah. Go, man, go. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 2, 36 through 30. Hey, look at this. Look at this. They profess that they know God. I'm sorry. But in word, deny Him. Can I say that again? Can we go back to that one? They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable. They are, with their lips they say, "I'm a Christian," but the Lord said, they're an abomination. We got to be careful about this. And they, because they were disobedient unto every good work, they were reprobate. Every good work, I don't believe that. That's a reprobate. Every good work, I don't think that's necessary. Hey, easy. But you don't know where you're headed, buddy. You don't know where you're going right here. Your little attitude, your little spirit, your little spitfire. I'm just telling you right now, why don't you turn that around and use that for God against the devil instead of using it with the devil against God? Amen. Hey. Can you give God too much? Can you do too much for God? Then there's nothing you can say about anybody doing anything for God except that that's a good thing. Praise God. And so we need to be very careful about this. Some people just want to just skin it lightly and just walk softly. Amen. But hey, anything worth doing is worth doing deep with everything that we have, right? All right. Well, I got two messages going at the same time. I'm just telling you, I couldn't help it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And stop letting the world make you so intimidated by the word work. That's why 40% of our nation won't work. It's a cuss word. Mommy, you going to work? Don't you ever say that in this house again. Hey, listen. Guess what? I work for God. I will be judged according to my works. I have to have works with my faith. Ooh, that felt good. Praise God. Well, don't be ashamed of that. And don't be afraid of that. And don't be intimidated by that. We do have faith. We do believe God. God's going to do all the stuff that we can't do, but we're going to do all the stuff we can do with all of our heart and with all of our might. Praise God. Amen. How many of you remember Brother Tim? No, he was paraplegic, paralyzed from his neck down. Tim Carter. He came and preached for us. I don't think we couldn't even get him on the platform. He had to preach right there in a wheelchair. And he sat right there and preached, "I will not sit down until he comes." Oh, what a challenge to me. Tim Carter's with God now. He's standing up. He's standing up. Thank God for a man that believed and worked. Amen. Because before his accident, he baptized your pastor in Jesus' name. He was the man that baptized me in Jesus' name. And then to see that happen to him, and for him to be only a man about that far from his chin to the top of his head. The only thing that could feel and move and was mobile and could speak. And for him to say, "I will not sit down until he comes." You got that kind of problem? You have those kind of needs? Not anybody that I saw tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, for that reason, I am so thankful I have the Holy Ghost. Therefore, Acts 2, 36 and 30 through 39, Peter preached a plan of salvation. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is a part of God's salvation. I'm not ashamed of that. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. In other words, he's saying, let them know for sure that God made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They felt conviction and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" Peter told them, he said, "Repent." He said, "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins." And then he said, "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That means everybody. Right? Amen. Acts 8, 5 through 8. The Holy Ghost, again, we want to bring to your attention that because you had a goosebump feeling when you repented, or you had a wonderful cleaning sensation when you were baptized, does not mean you were filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't ever want anybody to be confused about that. Amen. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. After, listen, the people with one accord, they gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Everything he preached, they loved it, wanted it. Hearing, seeing the miracles that he did, unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many of them that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But the point is this, just because there was great joy does not mean that they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the joy. Acts 8, 12 through 17. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so they were baptized. Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and he wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. You see? They wanted the rest of the story. Paul, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So just because you're baptized or just because you repented doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is there. The Holy Ghost is there, but you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost or filled with the Spirit of God. Then they, the Bible says they laid hands on them. Then what happened? Amen? Now, how do you know when a person repents? How does a person know? How does that individual know that they have repented? Was they heard themselves ask God for forgiveness? Was they blatantly, with their own mouth, ask God to forgive them? Am I correct? How does that individual know that they were baptized? They physically got wet. Well, now, if the Holy Ghost is a third experience, and they said they received the Holy Ghost, how do they know? They physically spoke in tongues. Every step we take in Bible salvation has a physical encounter, so that you will know that when the adversary comes and say it didn't happen, you can look back at him and say, "You didn't hear me? Are you deaf? You didn't hear me repent? You didn't hear me splashing? Was the preacher kept me under too long? You didn't hear me speaking in that heavenly language?" Hallelujah. Acts 10:30. Praise God. Cornelius, not a Jew, but a Gentile of the Italian band, received the Holy Ghost. Let's find out how we know he received the Holy Ghost. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Amen. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Okay, I've heard your prayer. And thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. Wow, Simon, and seaside. Two Simons together. What, that's a coincidence. We'll dig that out. All right, Simon, seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Simon, seaside, speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. All right, we're in position. I've heard from God. Cornelius said, I've heard from God. Simon, you've heard from God. The angel of the Lord has told us you're coming. Now you're here. We're all here. Give it to us. Boy, I wish it was that easy again. Man, we would have to have outside church. Praise God. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. See, he got a revelation too. This message is going to the Gentiles. Peter never even dreamed of that. But it did. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh... Oh man, don't let me get on a tangent again. And worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Somebody say, wow. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Remission or baptism through his name. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. How do we know? And they're the circumcision which believed were astonished. Number one, they had to have the Holy Ghost. If not, Cornelius would have been all right when God said, I heard your prayer. God could have walked away and Cornelius could have walked away and said, we made it. But no, he's got to send for this preacher. This preacher's got to come and be convinced himself that God is actually speaking to another sector of people that he never dreamed God would even go to. And yet he has. So we got the preacher accepting that, and we got Cornelius accepting the preacher. We got a Jew and a Gentile in the same house. We got people with Peter saying, whoa. We're going to Cornelius. Says, really? He's a Gentile. We don't do this. We've never done this. But you don't put God in a box and say he can't do anything more than what he's already done. Let me say something. This is a great church, but God is greater than this church. Hallelujah. And so it is. Where were we? 45 already. They of the circumcision, the Jews, believed, were astonished. Many came with Peter because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, here it is. Number one, you got to have the Holy Ghost. And number two, every time you receive it, you're going to speak in tongues. For they heard them, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome, really, seriously, to find things in the Word of God that are so right that you don't even have to worry about it anymore? I don't care what people say. I don't care what they do. Who cares? I know what the Word of God just said. That is such a comfort. Amen. Acts 19, 1 through 6. We're almost done. I wish my wife were here. She said, honey, when they're quiet, they're listening. I hope so. I'm an evangelist at heart, man. If you're not biting chunks out of the ceiling, I feel like I'm not doing good. Paul at Ephesus, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples, said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Okay, can we put on the brakes and say, okay, we've got some folks here that believe. However, they don't have the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Right? Because why was the question asked? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, here's why they didn't have the Holy Ghost. We haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. What is a Holy Ghost? And he said unto them, unto what then, how in the world were you baptized if you're a believer and you don't have the Holy Ghost? And they said unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, okay, I got it. I got it. You're some of those leftovers from John's baptism. Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Well, Christ Jesus has already come. He's done what he was going to do. John the Baptist blazed the trail. Trail's been blazed. Jesus has walked the trail. And now it's no longer time to be baptized under John's baptism. Well, okay. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were re-baptized. Amen. Somebody said it doesn't matter. Don't ever let anybody tell you it doesn't matter when it doesn't say that in the Word of God. If somebody says it doesn't matter, make them put their finger on it in the Word of God. And if they can't, you walk away from them fast. Because they're full of philosophy, and this is not philosophy, this is the Word of God. And so, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. They finally got the Holy Ghost because they were finally baptized in Jesus' name after they had finally repented. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for enduring hardness as a good soldier. I thank you for being with me on Tuesday nights. Crowd is growing. People are becoming more and more enthused about the literal and actual Word of God. Amen. I just have to learn how to change gears from Sunday night to Tuesday. But every now and then, is it all right if we mix it up? incidentally, we do have the Holy Ghost. Now, in my little 5'8" frame, therein lies the power that created this universe. So you're going to have to allow me to get excited every now and then. I got too much Didymus. I got too much power. Too much dynamite. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you feel good about God? I feel so good about God. I'm just telling you, you know, I mean, there's something that the Word of God can do to you that nothing else about God can do the same way. Now, I know God can do anything. But, you know, when I pray, there's wonderful things that happen and nothing can take place of prayer. But there's another thing that when I'm sitting down, Brother Scarborough, and I'm just reading the Word of God. I know I'm trying to stay with my bread program. But at the same time, while I'm doing that, I want to obtain it. I want to receive it. And so I like to be alone. I like to be by myself. I like to take my time and soak it up and absorb it. Praise God. And literally, to me personally, I don't know how it is to you because everybody's an individual, but to me, when I'm doing that, it's like the Word is going through and washing. Isn't there scripture somewhere, Brother Harris, help me, isn't there scripture that says wherein the Word has washed, the Word of God has washed us? Washing away your sins. Yeah, and there's a scripture where it says we're washed by the Word. I'll find that. But it is so, and that's what I feel. That's what I feel. I feel that when I'm absorbing the Scripture and the Word of God, I'm being washed. And then I find that the more I read it, the more I realize that it was really already there because I catch myself going ahead of what I'm reading. Now, that's awesome. Because if they ever come by, Brother Ron, and snatch this out of my hands, it's all right. I got it in here. I think I could move on. I think I could stand still and know the salvation of the Lord. Wow. I'm in one of those situations where I don't want to dismiss. But time moves on. Praise God. How many of you are involved on Saturday? Adopt a Block. This is the last Saturday coming up that we're physically get to do something in that area. Praise God. Great things happening. Wonderful things happening. Hallelujah. Amen. We wasn't planned this way, but here we are going to have a Holy Ghost rally right across the street from that church. Praise God. You know, I drove through a neighborhood one time years ago and it said, please be quiet. We're having church. I hope they don't have a sign like that in the neighborhood. I didn't see one, but I hope they don't have one. We're going to break the silence. We're going to tear down strongholds. Woo! And I am excited. Somebody say in Jesus' name. I want everybody, 100%, join with me right now. And let's say, Jesus, I want to thank God for the Word. God bless you. You may be dismissed in Jesus' name. Praise God.